It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Nate Sletten is in his ninth year of teaching band in Earlham, Iowa. It's his first job out of college, but he seems to have already found his niche, and the band program is thriving. He's been recognized in many ways, and he just received his second nomination for Grammy for Music Educator of the Year. That's from all over the country. He didn't receive the Grammy, but he's clearly a winner in the eyes of his students already. Let's listen to the voices of a couple of students and a parent he's worked with in Earlham.
Mr. Sletten always tells us that he gets to teach life through music. To have someone like Mr. Sletten to be the right influence is amazing for high school kids. Mr. Sletten is my role model and my hero and what I aspire to be when I grow up. The lessons that he has taught me and the things that I have learned from Mr. Sletten are lessons that I will carry with me through my whole life.
Mr. Sletten will say that it's the students, it's us that have grown the program, but that kind of growth doesn't happen without the kind of educator that Mr. Sletten is.
My middle child was a senior. In fact, he asked me to play with the band, and that was such an honor that he would ask me to do that. Fortunately, I played the bass trombone, and they just had a couple songs that they needed that for. But it was so great that he was showing these kids that their parents could be interested in music as much as they were.
Those are the voices of just some of the many students and parents and coworkers that spoke out in support for Nate Sletten in hopes of him winning that Grammy. But Nate, I think you've won already in the hearts and minds of Earlham, Iowa residents. Thank you so much for being here today.
Yes, thank you so much for having me on your show. This is just awesome.
Well, and I mentioned, this is your first job out of college. This is your ninth year of teaching in Earlham. And, of course, a lot of people start their teaching careers in small school districts. That's kind of a stepping stone for a lot of people. But you seem to have really found a home in Earlham. When you started teaching there, was there kind of a moment where you thought, this is where I need to be?
I think it happened in the interview. You know, I was Mr. Fletcher was my principal right away when I got to school here. And I was interviewing in some bigger school districts. And when I got to meet him and just the smile on his face and the excitement that he had for education and for really the community. I mean, he had spent 30 some years teaching in Earlham as well. And it was kind of a similar situation where, you know, it's just, this is an interesting community. It's a really, really tight knit community. You know, it's one of those storybook things. You come here on the 4th of July and everybody from town is in the middle of town in the park. And they get together and we play music in the park. And I mean, it's one of those fairy tale sort of places to live. It's sort of just a hidden gem here in Iowa.
And you grew up in a small town, right?
I did. I grew up in Lake Mills, Iowa, up there north of Mason City. And again, that was a fantastic community to grow up in, very supportive of the arts. So I'm kind of used to the small town thing. I'm happy that I can raise my family here as well.
Now, you teach band students from fifth grade on, so you're elementary through high school, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's kind of funny that in the past we tried to kind of try to figure out schedules because the elementary used to be on a six-day schedule, the middle school used to be on an every other day schedule, and the high school is on an everyday schedule. So trying to keep all of those things consistent and figure out when the room is available has been kind of an issue. But I teach fifth grade band, sixth grade band, middle school band, which is seventh and eighth grade, high school band, and then all of the other bands as well, which is marching band and pep band and jazz bands for both middle school and high school. And so, yeah, we have a good time around here.
So when you started in Earlham, there were about 80 kids in the program.
Yep.
The program has doubled since then. But when you arrived and you had 80 kids to work with and you knew you wanted to build the program, where did you start? What was your focus?
Making relationships with these students, I think that's the most important thing. I think when you work in a small school district like this and you get to see them, their growth from 5 through 12, it's making those strong relationships, and it's really a family atmosphere. You know, I think about some of my seniors that I have this year. You know, I've had them in class for 8 years. And so, I mean, we're really part of each other's life. It's not just, you see you for a year and then you're gone. I mean, we're, getting to know their families and getting to know them as people. It's just been a real joy to be able to watch them grow up and grow into awesome human beings.
I know that you started as you were, you know, building the program, you started really focusing on the pep band. Why the pep band?
I realized right away that some of our biggest audiences were probably going to be at basketball games. And so plus what other communities view as your band program, you know, is what they see at athletic events, because we don't probably have a lot of, you know, out-of-towners coming for our concerts. And so I thought, you know, let's have a good time. Let's get up here and let's inspire people through our music. And man, those kids love that style of music. And so, you know, if you have a really good pep band, you know, I think that is a glimpse into what the rest of your band program is like. But it was definitely a fun thing here in Erwin to be able to show off our students and their talent to the other school districts as well.
As your band program has grown, so have the honors that your band program's been receiving. And many of your students are invited to participate in honor bands and, you know, earn great results at contests. And I'm curious, you know, there's not probably just something in the water in Earlham that means that kids are particularly musically talented. Do you feel like students anywhere could achieve that kind of level of performance if they had the right teacher?
Absolutely. And I think they do. I think, you know, I'm so lucky to work in a profession with so many great band directors in Iowa and music teachers in Iowa. I think that some of the things that are the strongest about our state, the Iowa Music Educators Association, the Iowa Alliance for the Arts, the Iowa Bandmasters Association, all of those organizations work really, really well together to try to ensure that students are going to have the best teachers possible. I think one of the things that probably also kept me in teaching is the fact that those organizations also provide a mentorship program. And, you know, I think early on, especially at small school districts, early on, a lot of teachers, you know, you can kind of feel alone. And so getting that mentorship through those organizations has helped tremendously. Again, a big shout out to those music teachers that are working hard day in and day out to get these kids to love music and to learn life through music. I think there are so many great directors. You know, I know a lot of them really, really well from the South Central Iowa district. And wow, there's some amazing things happening in schools around here. So big shout out to those teachers as well.
Yeah, you just used that term, and one of your students mentioned it in the little clip that we used earlier about teaching life through music. What does that mean?
Absolutely. It's funny. I was not that long ago, I was in Sioux Falls talking to my music education professor, Dr. Silk, and he had us write a philosophy of music education. And my philosophy, the first time I wrote it, man, it was red with red ink. Afterwards, he was, you know, he wanted me to dig deeper. And I just had a conversation with him how I've really boiled down my philosophy of music education into a sentence. And it means a lot. There's a lot of meaning in that sentence. But that is that I get to teach students life through music. And so the get to part is that I've done a lot of research on the Carol Dweck mindset, growth mindset research. And so, you know, the get to is really, really important for me to realize that this is an honor to be able to teach kids music. The second thing is students come first. You know, there are a lot of students that are going through mental health issues or things with their families or everything like that. So getting to know them and making that relationship with students is the most important thing. And then we're teaching life through music. You can teach life skills, you know, creativity and collaboration you know, cooperation, especially in this day and age. I mean, I think it's pretty important. Those are things that my students are going to learn in my classroom. And I know that that's being taught in music classes all over the state. And then obviously music, the content itself is incredibly important. The skills that you learn through music, you know, the patience and the hard work ethic and dedication to really advancing that craft, your craft, I think is really important. I mean, so that's sort of boiled down my music education philosophy right there.
Music is such a wonderful opportunity to demonstrate how hard work can pay off, because if you
Absolutely.
Practice, then you can hear the results. So obviously, do you see your students taking that model and translating it into other areas of their life?
Absolutely. I just had a student come and check in with me again, and he just finished a pharmacy program at Drake University. But he came back, and one of the things he told me is that's one of the best things I learned in the band room is how to, you know, my work ethic is to work hard and know that when I put in this hard work, that there's going to be great results. And so that was really touching that he came back and said that. You know, I think another thing that my students really enjoy is I get really excited and motivated because I have them first period. So they come in sleepy, and I try to get them to walk out motivated. And so I do these things called soapbox speeches. I really kind of I have a quote, particular quote or picture or something like that, and just trying to teach them some sort of life skill and or just motivate them to always do their best. And I think that's another thing that my students always they come back and say that's even that sometimes even more than the music, that's what they remember from the class.
Now, beyond being a band teacher, of course, you yourself are a musician. What's your primary instrument? What do you love to play?
Yeah, I started playing guitar when I was six. My mom and dad brought me up to Albert Lea, Minnesota, and bought me a little three-quarter size guitar. So I started on guitar when I was 6 years old. And then in fifth grade band, I started playing the saxophone. And so that was my major instrument in college.
And when you were in high school, you had some unique opportunities to perform, right?
Yeah, when I started in sixth grade, then I got to start playing at church, which was really great to be able to get to play in front of a lot of people. And then my pastor and my superintendent and principal up there in Lake Mills came to me and asked me if I'd be interested in playing in a 50s and 60s rock and roll band. And we called it Nate and the Moonlighters, and we played for...
So you were the headliner of this band that was full of adults.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe it was just a novelty of being the little pipsqueak or something, but we had just a great time. And over time, we've raised over $95,000 for charity through that band. And it's just, you know, making music and playing really fun music, that 50s and 60s rock and roll music. People just love that stuff. We got to play up at the Surf Ballroom several times, so that was a lot of fun. And now today I play in with the same, some of the same guys. I play in a band called the Mill Street Band. Along with the fun part for me, though, is my wife is also a musician, Mindy. She was a music major at Augustana with me as well. And so she plays piano, trumpet, and she sings in the Mill Street Band as well, along with some of those former Nate and the Moonlighters players. So that's a blast. We have a really good time playing at weddings and street dances and town celebrations and stuff like that. So we have a good time.
So you're still performing?
Absolutely. Either with that group or, you know, sometimes I'll be asked to play at kids' graduation parties, or just the other day in Earlham here where we played, my wife and I played at a Valentine's Day banquet at a church and had a great time there. I've also been asked every once in a while to play with Casey Musicman, was a singer that was on The Voice season 3, and he was on Team Blake. And one of my best friends is the lead guitar player for Casey, Brian Schwager. And so I get to, every once in a while, I get to go live that rocker lifestyle. I get to go play with them on the weekends and stuff if I'm available. So that's always fun, too.
Now, I mentioned that you'd been recognized in a lot of ways earlier. Iowa representative for High School Band and Orchestra Magazine's 50 Directors Who Make a Difference. You received the Golden Apple Award in 2012. You serve as the research and development chair for the South Central Iowa Bandmasters Association. And the list goes on and on. Plus, you've had these two Grammy nominations. Do you have any idea who nominated you for your Grammy?
I'm not sure. I mean, I know that administrators can do it and students can do it, but I'm not sure exactly who nominated me for those last two times. It's an absolute honor to be recognized like that in any capacity. So
when you got the news the first time, mm-hmm. how did you hear?
You get an email from the Grammys that allows you to know that before the press release comes out, because what they want you to kind of start getting ready. You have to submit three videos of the quarterfinalists. One video is just 8 minutes straight of you teaching. Another video is sort of a testimonial video by parents in your district and students and administration and school board members and whoever you can get. I also was fortunate enough to have Myron Peterson, the president-elect of the Iowa Bandmasters Association, speak as well. So that's the second video. And then the third video is just sort of a personal video talking about your own philosophy of music education. And, you know, some, you know, obstacles you've overcome in your teaching or other details like that. So that was in the third video. You submit that, and then you find out from that then who makes it into the semifinalists. And fortunately, this last year, I was selected as one of the top 25, which is just, it's really outrageous. I mean, there were a lot of directors from really large school districts. And so for little old me in Earlham, Iowa, man, that is just a huge honor. But I guess I have to say, though, that you know, that really is just, it's not due to me. It's due to my parents for helping me out through my schooling. It's, you know, I have kids. I have a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old, Addie and Ella, and my wife, Mindy, and my school administration here. I mean, teachers can't do what they do without the support of those people in their lives. And so it's just a real honor.
How does that change how you feel about what you do every day? I mean, obviously you've put a lot of love and a lot of effort into what you're doing, but to get that kind of recognition, to know that people are really noticing and appreciating what you're doing, to have an opportunity to listen to all of those wonderful things that your students and coworkers and parents say about you, how does that change life on a day-to-day basis?
I think it definitely is an awesome pat on the back. And I just, you know, the way that I was raised and, you know, my schooling and education that I went through and the people that I'm around here, I mean, I am one of many teachers in Earlham that deserve an award like this. I feel like, you know, I feel like what I do day to day is what band directors should do day to day. And you know what? That's what band directors do every day. And so for me to be recognized like that, it's incredibly humbling. It's an awesome pat on the back and it makes you feel really good. But you sort of think, you know, there are so many worthy music teachers out there. And so to think that I would be in a category of people like that, it is incredibly honoring and humbling. So it is just really cool.
So when you think about all the students that you've taught so far, and obviously you've got a lot left to do, what are you most proud of?
I think I'm most proud of the people that they become. You know, again, I see these kids from fifth grade till 12th grade. The conversations that I can have with these kids, you know, in high school especially, and even younger too, but in high school, it's really the people they become and what, you know, it's not always just about the music either. It's about their philosophy on life or their philosophy on this or that. I just recently started teaching with a teacher named James Everson here in Earlham, a class called Philosophy of Performance. And so we get to dig into philosophy and talk about some of those, really difficult topics, and some of it has to tie into, you know, musical performance, but you know that is,
you really get to do a lot of exciting exploring. Nate Sletten, thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate the interview.
Nate Sletten is the band teacher in Earlham, Iowa. This is Talk of Iowa.